it's important to understand that about 99.9% of the DNA among all the people on Earth is identical.
This is Mark Borash. Mark works in the Centre for Forensic Science at the University of Technology, Sydney.
So if you compare any individuals, you'll see that basically 99.9% of our DNA is the same.
And these DNA help our bodies perform in the way they're meant to.
All our organs, all the essentials. So the majority of DNA must stay the same in order for our organism to function properly.
But Mark's interest in the area of DNA goes much deeper than understanding bodily function. For more than 8 years, Mark worked with the Israeli police as a forensic DNA expert. And during that time, he was involved in more than 800 criminal cases. Mark was looking for DNA, but he was also looking for DNA that felt outside of that 99.9%.
About 0.1% is different. And the forensic scientists, they look for these differences.
And Mark is looking at these 0.1% features because those are what separates you from everyone else. What separates you from me.
Eye colour or skin colour. The pigmentation, the shape of our face could be different, because it doesn't really matter for the survival of the species what is the shape of our nose, right? May change our mating preferences, but not really affect drastically at our survival.
And these 0.1% features would also point you out if you were involved in, say, a homicide.
Every person sheds cells all the time. So when we touch this table, when we go around the house, we shed cells. So we can find cells in the dust, we can find cells on your clothes, and we can find it everywhere. And the same for the crime scene, of course.
When we shed our cells, Mark says it's like you're leaving little splatters of your DNA along the path you walk. And yeah, that sounds pretty gross, but to Mark and his work, those splatters are massively helpful.
Then we can try and find the biological material and see if we can analyze this DNA and compare eventually with a reference sample. Let's say we found a knife, okay, with some blood on it. We want to find who was holding this knife. So we maybe want to test the knife handle and see if there are any shedded epithelial cells on this handle. Eventually, we can compare a profile from this handle to a suspect and see if we can get a match with his or her DNA profile.
And how would you do that?
We specifically look at the locations in DNA which we called short tandem repeats, or SCRs.
Okay, so let me divulge into this science. A short tandem repeat is a sequence of nucleotides. Nucleotides are like the basic building blocks of DNA.
And there are four of these, A, C, G, T.
So A, C, G, T are the different nucleotides. And everyone has those, but the number of times they will repeat, meaning the number of times they'll go A, C, G, T, A, C, G, T, A, C, G, T, will vary.
For example, it could be a sequence of A, C, G, T, and then it could be repeated 5 times, 10 times, or 20 times. In one person could be 10, another one could be 11, and another one could be 18.
Think of them as your own signature repeating DNA.
And then if we look at different locations in DNA and compare those, we will see that we can actually find a unique or very rare profile, that's what we call DNA profile, which we can use to identify a person.
Meaning they can find, hey, maybe you were the one holding that knife. Your DNA was found here, and maybe you're involved in this homicide somehow. If you've watched enough CSI or Law & Order, you may already know all of this. But aside from matching a DNA sample to a murder weapon, Mark is part of a wave of people trying to take things to the next step and use DNA to develop more accurate methods of things like facial reconstruction, which is where you can draw up a digital map of a suspect's face or a victim's.
When we talk about face, our face, if you think about it, it's a very complex trait or many different complex traits, which means that they must be influenced by many, many different genes. By many, I mean hundreds and probably even thousands. This large number of genes make it, at this point, pretty much impossible to predict the facial appearance with very high accuracy.
But this hasn't stopped Mark from trying.
Again, that would be a long way. So probably some have heard about the US-based company that sells a product which they are trying to promote as the way to predict the visual appearance of a person from a DNA sample. That's a bit of a gimmick, actually, because, again, we still don't really know all the core genetics behind the facial appearance. We can actually predict some of the pigmentation traits. We can predict biogeographic ancestry. So, for example, North Europeans versus East Asians, down to this kind of resolution.
With the traits we can already determine about someone from their DNA, Mark is also thinking beyond the crime scene and looking to areas where a natural disaster has hit.
The problem with the Mars disasters, the sample that are found there are usually so degraded, so the DNA is so degraded that we could find only just a few pieces of biological tissue. If we can use more advanced methods such as forensic molecular phenotyping, we can again provide additional clues of how this person looked like.
And I guess in the case of a disaster, to know whom that person might have been or who they were, as if to maybe notify someone later down the track.
Exactly. To basically draw a portrait of the person with some of these traits, and that could be really helpful for the family to maybe recognize this person. By analyzing the microbial DNA from his saliva, we can potentially predict his diet, or maybe if he commuted by a train or a private car. So all these little pieces of information could be really, really useful for investigation.